I think somebody asked a moment ago, are we doing Parsha or Chanukah? No, is that the question? We're going to do both. What I want to share with you today is a classic piece. Mazel tov. A classic piece from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz always has something relevant for all of us. And everyone should be familiar with the Yesodos of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. They are foundational ideas in Amuna, Hashkaf, and Avoda. Certainly a divrei Torah and ideas that speak certainly speak to our generation, and really l'dorei doros. So this is from the markups there. This is my copy of Sichos Musar, so you'll see my markups over there. But let's read a few pieces together, raise one of the great questions on this week's parsha, and tie it into Chanukah. Right, the Gemara tells us, my Chanukah, what is the miracle of Chanukah? And it goes through the whole episode of the Chashmonaim and the battle, and the victories, and eventually coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and Nasa, Nesved, Liku, Memena, Shemana Yamim, it lit for 8 days, and V'asu Yamim, Tovim, Bahal, V'hodah, says the Gemara in Shabbos. And because of the events, we see from the Brisa that we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of Hallel and the purpose of Chanukah is to praise Hashem for the miracle, the nes of the Pach Shemen. I don't have any more papers. We have to share. Oh, yeah. Is the nes of the Pach Shemen. That's what the Gemara says. The whole purpose of the miracle of Chanukah is to praise Hashem for the miracle of the oil and the small oil that lasts. So ask Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, v'yesh l'hispo neim b'davar. We have to contemplate this thing. He says, at that time, Knesset Yisrael was almost wiped out. The Jewish people were almost on death's door. We say in Al Nisim, k'she'amda malchus yavan harasha al amcha Yisrael, v'ashkicham torasach l'avir michukei ritzonecha. We almost lost the Torah. We almost lost our entire avoda. We're almost wiped out as Jews. V'naslam nisim gedolim. Masarte gibron biad chalashim, ravim biad ma'atim. The small band of Jewish soldiers overcame the large Greek army. People who were engaged in Torah overcame those people who were against the Torah. And asisa tushua gedola purkan chiyom hazeh. We say in Al Nisim a tremendous miracle occurred. We almost were wiped out as a people. Judaism Torah was almost lost, and Hashem saved us. We would think that the main focus of Chanukah, as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, is that we were saved as a people and the Torah continued to the next generation. But that's not what we talk about. The Gemara says that we are obsessed with this little bit of oil that lasted for 8 days. It seems to be so small and so insignificant compared to the major Yeshua and the major events of Chanukah. And that is the question the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks that we'll come back to at the end. But he's going to answer this question based on an episode in this week's Parsha. We are told by Yosef, V'hinei orchas yishmeilim bav migilad, v'gmaleyam nosim nechas v'tzari v'lev v'holchim lahorid mitzrayma. The Torah says that as Yosef is being sold down to Mitzrayim, so the Yishmeilim came along, and then the Torah takes a parenthesis. And the Torah says, oh, and by the way, you should know that Yishmaelim are carrying spices and beautiful smelling fragrances and all types of wonderful perfumes to bring down to Egypt. Which obviously begs the question from Chazal and Rashi, who cares what they're carrying? Who cares what their business was? It's totally irrelevant to the entire episode of Yosef being sold into slavery by his brothers. Why do I have to know this? So the Gemara tells us, and the Medrash says that what? That generally, they would carry very unpleasant-smelling things. Tars and leathers and all types of nasty-smelling devices that they would carry down from place to place. Sheharuach nensheves behem. Those things did not have a pleasant smell. But the Pasuk is telling us that Yosef was brought down to Mitzrayim with things that were pleasant, things that were not bothersome, things that did not make the journey so bad. And therefore, the Torah is telling us that this is kind of like a present that Hashem did for Yosef. A big tzedakah, a very nice kindness that Hashem did for Yosef at Tzadik, that when he's being sold down to slavery in Mitzrayim, at least it should smell nice in the transportation. Which begs the question, asked Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who cares what it smelled like, right? If your brothers kidnapped you and sold you into slavery, would you care if the car was like a Nissan coupe with a two-seater, or would you care if it was a Rolls Royce? I did get sold into slavery, but it was a really nice Tesla. So it's really okay, because everything turned out fine. What a funny thing for the Torah to highlight, and what a funny thing for Chazal to focus on in the entire episode of Yosef being sold into slavery. Really? It smelled nice? His brothers literally almost stabbed him in the back and sold him into slavery and threw him in a pit. Probably had one of the worst days ever in human history. But it smelled nice on the way down, and the car had, like, you know, a nice fragrance, so it was really okay, not such a big deal. That's the question that Rechaim Shalevitz asks regarding that entire episode. He writes on the last bottom of the page here. That pleasant smell makes any difference? It's bewildering, it's crazy. So, says Rechaim Shalevitz, I want to lay down for us a yesod in Avodas Hashem. He says, "Ach kishna amik b'davar nira b'davar gadol hu reach b'samim zeh u'mashmo shona lo legamrei ki b'shas choshech va'afei lezu u'b'shas shekol olamo charev alav." During a time of darkness, when it looks like the entire world is falling apart, alul haya Yosef la'gili de yeish chas v'shalom. A person, including Yosef at Tzadik, could lead to yeish, and they could give up on everything. Everything is lost. I'll never see my family again. My life is destroyed. Nothing good will ever come of me. That's it. I'm done. Hashem has turned his eyes away from us completely. I'm lost. I'm forgotten. Chas v'shalom. But from Shemayim, we want to be shown that it's not the case. Hashem imo v'adayin hu tachas hashkacha so yisparach. That no matter where you are in life, and no matter what your challenge is, whether it's big or whether it's small, whether you perceive it to be big or whether you perceive it to be small, ein lo la'avedes bitchono haVashem yisparach. Don't give up on Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazon lo reach tov shlo kederach hatava. Hashem sends him something out of the ordinary. Lahoros lo she'enu ibud v'nishach, to remind you that you're not lost. Ela adarava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu malichu yad biyad. It's a beautiful sentence here, says Rechaim Shalevitz. The Talmidim wrote here. The Rechaim Shalevitz, the Sichos Musso, written by his son and Rav Aryeh Finkel, who was the Mashkiach in Mir Brachfeld. Clue two, the closest Talmidim, who went over, reviewed it. Every single word was carefully balanced. So it very much, it's not just some guy's notes that are Sichos Musso, but it's very much carefully written to be exact to the tones and to the inferences that Rechaim was trying to say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu malucho yad biyad. Hashem wants you to know that He's holding you hand in hand. V'hu yorid emo mitzrayma, that I'm going down to you to Mitzrayim. Such a beautiful line. He says, sometimes in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we find ourselves in choshech va'afela, and everything seems to be lost, Hashem wants us to know that I'm still there with you. For whatever reason, you need to go through this episode. For whatever reason, this challenge is what you need to go through. But Hashem will send us a little hint, a little thing that we should understand, that we're not forgotten. And therefore, Yosef was being brought down to Mitzrayim. The fact that there was a nice smell was a small detail that was out of the ordinary. In a good way, it was a sign that to Yosef that Hashem was right next to him and that all was not lost. There's a beautiful idea brought by Rav Mordechai Pogromansky. Rav Mordechai Pogromansky was a tremendous Talmid Chacham who survived the Holocaust. And he explained that there are two types of knives that can cut a person's body. One is a surgeon's knife, and the other is the knife of an attacker, of someone who's coming to harm you. Now, the surgeon's knife is a knife that's used in rachmanas. It's a knife that's used in compassion to save and to uplift and to make a person's life better. But the knife of a killer is meant to express cruelty and death. So how do you know, asked Rav Mordechai Pogromansky, if the knife that's coming to kill you, the knife that's coming at you, is to save you, or the knife that's coming at you is there to harm you? So he explained that if the knife is rusty and old, then it's that of a killer. If the knife is disgusting and it's unkept, it's someone who's coming to you in order to harm you. And if the knife is clean and the knife is sterile, then it's the knife of a surgeon. So he explained, although Yosef certainly did not need that scent at all, and it served nothing to him in the big picture, what he lacked at the time was the illumination of Pnei Hashem. Moshe felt that Hashem wasn't paying attention to him, to show him b'chvod uva'atzmo, that he would be with him in trouble. And the light that was revealed to him to show him that Hashem was there was the scent of those spices. It was the clean surgeon's knife. It was Hashem telling Yosef, I know that this hurts, and I know that it's painful, but it's sterile. It's there for your benefit, as opposed to the knife of the attacker that is not sterile and not under the right conditions. Both are uncomfortable. They're both knives, said Rav Mordechai Pogromansky. But the difference in the quality of the knife indicates what the knife is being used for. We find, seemingly, many other petty miracles in Tanakh, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz as well. Go to number two on the side of page two. He says, "V'nei matzinu kama nisim shenasa l'chor l'tzorch dvarim shnirim pu'utim." There are many petty, small miracles that we find in Tanakh. He says, let me give you some examples. He says, "Kmo haneishim atzim etzel David v'Goliath." What does it say? "Vayach es haplishti," that David killed Goliath al mitzcho, by his forehead, "v'titba ha'evin b'mitzcho," and it hit him in the head, "v'yipol al panav arts," and he fell on his face to the ground. Who cares which way he fell? So Rashi tells us that the reason why he fell that way is shelo yitzar David lelech lachtoch es rosho. Because when the rock hit Goliath in the head and he killed him, he could have fallen backwards. But if David had to go and chop off his head and walk, Goliath was a tall guy, right? He had to walk the extra few feet to chop off his head, it would have been annoying. So Hashem made it that Goliath fell forward at David, so then his head would be right there for David to cut off, which is a strange miracle. Like, really? Like, the miracle of him killing him with a single rock in one shot, like, wasn't enough. He has to fall in the right direction. So he says, "Vadvar mismeyim." Who cares? He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the shinoi besidrei breishis lav milsa zujasi. It's not a small thing. But what was the tzorach of this? So he goes on to explain that the purpose of this miracle was so that it was important the dove to see that there's a small gift, that Hashem was right there. The extra things, the small, nice, seemingly, you know, extra or hashkacha patzis things that happen to us in life are Hashem telling us, oh, by the way, I'm right there with you. I'm holding your hand. I'm there with you along the way. Another example, it says in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, by Avram Avinu, "Sana aseinachu re'ei min hamakom asher ata sham sefonu v'negba v'kedma v'yama." Hashem tells Avram Avinu that when you're looking around, that you're going to inherit all of Eretz Yisrael, in that moment, it says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, "Sheyuchal liros mitzafon v'darom v'marav l'mizrach b'makom echad." Avram Avinu, in a fantastic miracle, was able to see all four directions at the same time, which is clearly impossible. You can't do that. But Avram was made by Hashem to be able to see in such a way. So what was the purpose of this idea? The answer, even though it was totally unnecessary, is in light of the fact that Avram was just promised the holiest piece of real estate in the entire world. The answer was to give him something special. He looked here at a beautiful mashal that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings on the top of page 3, the third page. He says, "Alchein al pi darkenu, sheyesh neis shechol tachliso hu ha'aras panim." There are miracles where the entire purpose is the miracle. There are events of hashkacha pratzis in a person's life where the entire purpose of that event is only ha'aras panim, a smile from Hashem. "Navin gam es mehusam shal nisim halalu." It will teach you about the rest of the miracles as well. "V'naktim zem mashal." Let me tell you a mashal. "B'mishpach echas aved yehalom yakar erach." A family lost a very, very, very expensive diamond. "Asher haya Yerushal hem midor dor." It was handed down from generation to generation. "V'chol b'nei ha'mishpacha nitztaru tzar gadol." Everyone in the family was in pain. "Ma'od b'tarchu b'chol kocham lechavso." And they're searching, and they're looking in the car, and they're looking in the Pesach cabinets, and they're looking under everywhere, all the places it should be and the places it shouldn't be. They are looking for this diamond. And it's getting worse and worse. And the father's crying and the mother's crying. And "I can't believe we lost this. No one's going to talk to us again. It's going to be bad luck." It's mamish getting worse and worse. And what happens? B'chol ben mishacha, everyone's looking around. "La'achri agia v'chipas." After looking and searching, "Narchiv nimtza hayalom al-yedei echad hayaldim." One of the small children, by chance, finds that diamond. And he comes running, "Mommy, Daddy, I found the diamond. I found the jewel." "Amad aviv v'nashko arosho." And his father picks him up and he gives him a kiss on his head. "Simchas ha-mishpacha kula haisa rabba ma'od." Isn't the rejoicing and the happiness of the family enough that everyone gives the kid a slap on the back and we're so proud he found it, everyone's happy and relieved? Isn't that enough of a simcha for the family? "U'bichlalam sameach gam hayal motzei haveda." And obviously, the little boy is ecstatic that he found the lost diamond. He feels so proud of himself. Isn't that enough? We can go out for ice cream, everyone's happy, end of story. But the little boy, besides for the rejoicing of the entire family, he has a personal rejoicing. Simchas Hanashika Shekibel Me'aviv. That kiss that he got from his father. Because that kiss was filled with so much love and so much appreciation that it was special for him. No one else had that. The whole family shared in the rejoicing of getting that diamond and recovering that lost artifact. But that boy has a very special relationship with his father now, because his father gave him something that nobody else has. And he's going to remember and realize that there was something extra special about that event. And he goes on to explain, this is the greatness of these miracles, that obviously the nace of killing Goliath by David was huge. And there was a great Kiddush Hashem for all of Klal Yisrael. But David was zochet to something special. Goliath was killed. That was for the Jewish people. But David felt a special kiss on his head. That Mashal Chaim Shlavitz. He felt a special squeeze from Hashem, where Hashem said to David, yeah, killing Goliath, that was for everyone. But this, that little extra thing that he fell forward, that was for you. That was a special smile from Hashem, just for David HaMelech. And the same thing with Avram Avinu. 100%, a huge miracle, a huge blessing from Hashem. Your children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. There could be no greater promise. That is enough for Avram to sing and dance the rest of the day. A huge bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that wasn't just for Avram. That was for us as well. We're all zocha to have Eretz Yisrael now. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, but I want to give you one thing just for you. I'm going to be able to give you the ability to see all four directions at the same time. You should know that there's a special kiss on the head for you as well in our particular relationship. And he says as well, he gives a fourth example on the bottom of the third page. It's the same thing with Yocheved. That after Basia saved Moshe from the water, you know, please, let's find someone to take care of this little boy. I'll pay the mother. I need someone to nurse the child. So, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hichzer las bana, v'nasan las schara. So Hashem returned Moshe back to his mother for those couple of years when she was able to nurse him, and she got paid for it, right? That's what she got. What? She got paid for it? Wasn't Yocheved happy enough that she got her son back and she was able to nurse him and raise him for a couple of more years before returning him to the house of Paro? Oh, and she also made a couple of bucks on the side. That again was a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving her a kiss. Of course I have to save the Moshiach and Shel Yisrael. I have to save the Savior of the Jewish people. That's a Dover Pashut. But for you, Yocheved, I want something special for you to know that there's Ha'aris Panim that I'm shining my face on you even during this terrible time. Says Rechaim Shlevis, there is sometimes a miracle that is just a kiss from Hashem. A neshika from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the entire purpose. And with this, he says, we can begin to explain the concept of the Nes Chanukah. Obviously, the miracle and the saving of the Jewish people should be sufficient for the Jewish people. The Beis HaMikdash is rededicated. We're able to practice as Jews. The Greeks leave us alone. No, the Hashmonaim take over. It's all good things for the Jews. It's all wonderful things for Klal Yisrael. Of course we're ecstatic. But there, says Rechaim Shmulevitz, V'chein hu b'neis Chanukah, neis ha-nitzachon b'melchama shenimsru, in the last page, that was necessary. Kilo sishkach mepizaro. Hashem promised the Torah will never be forgotten for us. But does the miracle of the war of Chanukah and the Jews overcoming the Greeks show the love of Hashem towards the Jewish people? No. That had to happen. Because we weren't saved, we would be wiped out. And the Torah can't be wiped out. So Hashem had to have that occur. But where do we see that Hashem's giving us a kiss? Where Hashem gives us Ha'aras Panim and says, guys, this miracle had to happen with the war and the Chashmonaim and the Greeks and the Jews. That was necessary. But the Pach Shemen, says Rechaim Shlomitz, is the Ha'aras Panim. It's the kiss from Hashem. It's the icing on the cake. It's not necessary for the Pach Shemen, but it's there to show us that Hashem loves us and that we're special and that we're different and that Hashem is holding our hand, walking with us through difficult times and even through good times, that Hashem is there with us the entire way through. And this brings everything together, that the extra affection of the Pach Shemen shows Hashem's affection and the kiss on the head towards the Jewish people. Now later, when Yosef is in the house of Potiphar, So we're told, Vayi Hashem es Yosef, that Hashem was with Yosef. So the Das Zakenim of the Bali Atosis, we know that the grandchildren and the Talmidim of Rashi wrote a lot of Perushim on the Torah that were collected into different volumes. The Das Zakenim is one that's sometimes printed in a standard Mikros Gedolos. So the Das Zakenim explains that Hashem acts differently with us than with other human beings. He says when a Basar V'dam deals with other people, when the people are on top, they want to be their best friend. And when the people are on the bottom, we won't have nothing to do with them, right? When the person has, you know, a nice apartment in Eretz Yisrael, and they have, you know, they're a lot of fun to hang out with, and they're very good, so of course you want to be their friend. They're a lot of fun to, they're a lot of fun to be around with. You get a lot of perks. That's great. But when the person doesn't have a lot of perks, and they don't have a lot of things going on, and they're going through troubling times, and they're complaining a lot, and they're moaning a lot, and they're not so fun to be around, you don't want to be their friend so much. It's hard to be their acquaintance. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not like that with us. When we are on top, Hashem is with us, 100%. But when we're on the bottom, and we're sold into slavery, into Egypt, and we're serving an Egyptian home, and we're having some of the worst days ever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there with us. No different than we're on top. Vayihi Hashem es Yosef. And Hashem was with Yosef. Because Hashem is not like you and me. Hashem sticks by us no matter what's going on. And he's there to hold us our hand and to give us a pat on the back when we're doing well. And he's there to hold our hand and to give us a kiss on the head when we're not doing well. And to let us know that he's right there with us. You know, in that popular sign, in that popular song, V'afilu Bahasara is based on a piece of Likutei Maharan, right? Afilu Bahasara B'soch Shahasara, B'vadai Gam Sham Meluvash Hashem Yisparach. Therefore, Hashem is there as well. And that's based on idea in Dvarim, where it says in the Pasuk, in the end of Dvarim, V'anochi haster astir panai b'yomahu, that Hashem says, I will hide myself on that day. Now, when children play hide and seek, and one of them hides, it's understood that you look for the child who's hiding. That's how you play the game. That's the fun of the game, is you look for the person who's hiding. And that's what's called being behester, hidden. But if none of the children know that someone is participating in the game, then his very hiding is hidden, which means they don't even know someone should be looking for them. That is a very difficult game to be a part of, right? You're playing with your siblings, you're playing with your friends, and someone's hiding, but they don't even, no one knows they're supposed to be looking for them. That's an especially hidden type of situation. It's a double and multiplied hiding. And the same thing is with us and Hashem. We don't feel that Hashem is hidden from us. The comfort is that even when he's hidden in such a concealed way, he can be found. And even those who stand in times of distress and times of sorrow, in the most difficult situations, even there, Hashem is with them, directing and guiding. And that, those are words of comfort. That even when we don't even know that we're hiding, or we don't even feel that we're hiding, or we don't even know that something is wrong, Hashem is with us the entire time. But then the song continues. Gam me'achore hadvarim hakashim ha'ovrim alecha ani omeid. Even when there are difficult things going on, I'm standing there with you. That everyone goes through difficult situations in their lives. And this message manages to instill in our hearts the encouragement and the hope that we're not alone. That Hashem is with us everywhere and in every situation, loving, watching, protecting, no matter what's going on. You know, throughout, you know, the last couple of years of, you know, COVID and pandemics and trying times that everyone has had to experience in different levels, a person should be able to see and should try to find those things that are, you know, kisses on the head from Hashem. All the different things, whether it was during COVID, a person, you know, rekindled a relationship, a person found an area of avoda that they weren't able to experience before, a person's davening got better. Even when it came to, vaccines, you know, before the COVID vaccine was invented, the fastest vaccine that was ever developed was 4 years to develop a vaccine. The vaccine for mumps took 4 years to develop. And the COVID vaccine was done in less than a year. That's a squeeze from Hashem. That's Hashem telling us, I know it's difficult. I know things are trying, but here's something. Here's a haras panim to push us through. We have to work on the ability to train ourselves. It does not happen overnight. That ourselves and our families to notice and to be sensitive to special kisses from Hashem. We have to build a sensitivity to see where is that haras panim. Because Hashem could be kissing us on the head all the time, but we're not paying attention, we're not feeling it. We have to open our eyes, we have to open our hearts to be able to be sensitive to those things. And when things are light and when things are dark, So we have to train our eyes to see those kisses and to feel those kisses. Speak about them with friends and family. Try to notice them. Try to bring them into your own life. And especially when it comes to younger people, educators, children, things like that, to get in the habit of teaching people to notice those things. Again, I'm not talking about you know, hashgacha pratis moments and things like that. I'm talking about nothing that has to be shared with anybody. For yourself, to open up your eyes to see this was a challenging thing, but there was a parking spot. You know, this was a very difficult situation, but there was, you know, something that happened to be funny or cute about it that only I noticed. Those are things we have to train ourselves in to be more sensitive, to feel, you know, the sweet-smelling spices when we feel like we're being sold down to Mitzrayim, you know, and on the other end as well, to have that pach shemen even after a great day, after a big simcha, to notice there was something special for me that Hashem put in there that only I noticed, that only I was sensitive to. Okay, good.